Our first Bible reading is from the prophet Hosea, chapter 14, reading verses 1 to 9, which can be found on page 687 of the Pew Bibles. The prophet Hosea proclaims the need for God's chosen people to turn away from false idols and to worship the one true God. Hosea 14, reading from verse 1. Hear the word of God. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us, so that we may offer you our praises. Assyria cannot save us, nor can our war horses. Never again will we say to the idols we have made, you are our gods. No, in you alone do the orphans find mercy. The Lord says, then I will heal you of your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. Israel will blossom like the lily. It will send roots deep into the soil like the cedars in Lebanon. Its branches will spread out like beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedars of Lebanon. My people will again live under my shade. They will flourish like grain and blossom like grapevines. They will be as fragrant as the vines of Lebanon. O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green. All your fruit comes from me. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in these paths, sinners stumble and fall. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13, reading verses 1 to 12, which can be found on page 841 of the Pew Bibles. The Apostle Paul comes up against an enemy as he spreads God's message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Acts 13, reading from verse 1. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon called the Black Man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manuin, the childhood companion of King Herod of Antipas, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Cilicia and then sailed for the island of Cyprus. There, in the town of Salamis, they went to the Jewish synagogues and preached the word of God. John Mark went with them as their assistant. Afterward, they traveled from town to town across the entire island until finally they reached Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar Jesus. He had attached himself to the governor, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. The governor invited Barnabas and Saul to visit him, for he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, as his name means in Greek, interfered and urged the governor to pay no attention to what Barnabas and Saul said. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked the sorcerer in the eye. Then he said, you son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, and enemy of all that is good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord? Watch now, for the Lord has laid his hand of punishment upon you, and you will be struck blind. You will not see the sunlight for some time. Instantly, mist and darkness came over the man's eyes, and he began groping around, begging for someone to take his hand and lead him. When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. To God be the praise and the glory in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Franklin D. Roosevelt was the President of America from 1933 to 1945. He is considered by many to be one of the top three presidents America ever had, the others being George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. One of the things that Roosevelt detested was the long receiving lines he had to endure during his time in the White House. He often complained that no one really paid any attention to what he said. One day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. As each person came down the line and shook his hand, he said softly, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guests all responded with phrases like, "Marvellous! Keep up the good work! We're proud of you! God bless you, sir." It was not till near the end of the line that the ambassador from Bolivia responded to Roosevelt's whispered confession by saying, "I'm sure she had it coming." That story reminds me that that listening does not come easily when we are distracted. Listening is an art form, especially when it comes to listening to God. In Acts 13, we hear about someone who wanted to hear about God. His name is Sergius Paulus, and he is the governor of Cyprus. And according to the Bible, he is an intelligent man. The problem Sergius faced is the one many of us face in our lives today. A Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet by the name of Bar Jesus, had attached himself to the governor. Now, you might be sitting here this morning thinking, "No, there's no sorcerer or false prophet attached to me." But I will return to that supposition later. In verse 8, Bar Jesus is called Elymas, which is the Greek word for sorcerer or magician. When he hears that Barnabas and Saul have been invited by the governor Sergius to speak about the word of God, Elymas does what many magicians do today. He tries to interfere by distracting the governor from the truth. It's a tactic that the devil uses frequently. If he sees someone getting close to the truth about Jesus and salvation freely given to all who believe in him, then he will try to prevent the message being delivered by sending someone to be a roadblock or by distracting the intended recipient. Perhaps that has happened to you in the past. You are planning to go to do something religious, like Bible study, a prayer meeting, a church worship service, a praise gathering. Perhaps you were thinking about serving God in some deeper way. Whatever the good intention, something or someone has caused you to change your plans. Magicians often get their audiences to focus away for a moment so that their sleight of hand will not go noticed. They hide the truth by deception so that what happens next appears magical. They distract from the truth. That's what the devil does. It is he who sends Elymas to try and stop Barnabas and Paul from telling Sergius about the truth. But the Apostle Paul, full of the Holy Spirit, recognizes this fact and confronts Elymas and says to him, "You son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, Will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord? It may be that you could name your own Elymas, someone in your life that never stops trying to get between you and God. Someone who never stops twisting the words in Scripture. Someone that you need to recognize for what they truly are. A tool of the devil. But it's not just the devil who distracts us. It's true, our world is filled with dark misdirections. Our world is full of satanic attractions and evil addictions. We have people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol. We have people who are addicted to pornography. We have people who are addicted to gambling, to shopping, and to gossip. And because of the damage these addictions do, it's obvious both to the sufferers and to the families and friends of these people that these distractions are truly negative in nature. But there are other things that fall into a more grey area of right and wrong, at least as far as the world is concerned. Things like horoscopes and fortune tellers. And many people, perhaps some here, who think there's no harm in them, and yet they are often the doorway into the occult and mysticism, areas that the Bible warns us specifically to steer well clear of. But there are other types of distractions in our lives that are often thought of as positive. There is a website called livingforjesus.com. It says there are lots of distractions in our lives from hearing God. This is part of their list. None of them are sinister in nature, but each one prevents us from hearing God. First one they put up is money. Some people think that money is the root of all evil, but it is the love of money that this saying refers to. And if your worries about money consume your thoughts, then they are a barrier to a healthy relationship with God. Number two on their list is media. How much time do you spend watching TV, on the internet, or your mobile phone? Or even reading magazines? And then compare that time to the time you spend in fellowship with God. I'll let you do the math. Third on the list is church. That may surprise you. But there are some who go to church to support an organization, to be seen by others, to be thought of as being good. Others who come in denial of themselves and portray an image of purity when they should be on their knees in humility. Others so concerned with the rituals of worship rather than coming to this place to seek God and be in His presence. Fourth on our list is relationships. Family and friends are time consuming. And of course they are very important. But our relationship with God has to be the most important. Fifth is routine. Is spending time with God part of your routine? If not, then why not? What is it in your life that is getting in the way? Number six is work. How many people do you know work more than 40 hours a week? Work, work, work. It's so demanding on our time. And I don't just mean our paid employment, I also mean the time spent serving the church. We want everything to be so perfect in our Bible study, our worship, our prayer meeting, our healing service, our kids club, our Sunday school. We want everything so perfect wherever we serve, that we don't let God have a part in it. I know I'm probably preaching to myself more than I'm preaching to anybody else. Number 7, hobbies. If your hobby is keeping you too busy to read your Bible or pray, then in reality it is a distraction from God. And the 8th on their list is ourselves. The last one on the list of distractions, and possibly the most likely to distract us, is ourselves. We are by nature sinful. And if we live by our nature, we will not get close to God. That is why we need to die to ourselves and live in Christ. But no matter what we do, there will be a constant battle within ourselves between spirit and flesh. That is why we need to constantly allow God to search our hearts and purify it. And the first steps in overcoming ourselves is to be aware of it. The point is, every day of our lives are so full that we have very little time left to hear God. I wonder, can you remember the last time that God spoke to you? Or the last time you gave God an opportunity to speak to you? The problem's not that God mumbles. The problem is our lives are so filled with so many distractions. And yes, some are the handiwork of Satan, but how many more are our own responsibility? We are the ones, probably more so than the devil, who place obstacles in the way of our relationship with God. We are the ones who are passionate about our hobbies and addictions, yet lukewarm about the Bible and church. We are the ones who worry about money and get into the habit of not doing church. We are the ones who are the false prophets within ourselves when we doubt God's promises and find excuses in advance for breaking his commandments. And if not excuses, then assuredly justification for doing so in hindsight. During my training for ministry, I had to attend many conferences. And at one in particular, a wise and seasoned minister asked all the candidates to tell of the story of how God had brought them to that point. One by one, each of us spoke. Each story was different, but each story was the same. God was at work in each of our lives in an individual and special way. I remember Bob, who was in his late 30s at that time, telling the group that he had once been a teacher. He worked with children who were hard of hearing. He said his work was heartbreaking and exhausting. Every child struggled to hear the slightest thing. Bob exclaimed that one day it came to the point where he just couldn't do it anymore. You see, there was this little girl by the name of Susan. Bob described her as being as cute as a button. Well, one day he was in the playground and Bob tried to talk to her. He walked up to Susan and looked her square in the face and said, "Susan, what do you want to do when you grow up?" Susan responded, "My shoes are red." She didn't hear a word. Bob quit his job the next day, and 6 years later he found himself training for ministry. All faces turned to the wise and seasoned minister, who looked at Bob and said, "Son, if you're going into ministry, then you better get used to people not listening. Every church has a surplus of people who just don't listen." He then explained that he had recently been on holiday, and when Sunday morning came, he just walked into the nearest church to see if God had a word for him. He sat alone in the back and was pleasantly surprised. Everything about the worship was perfect. The preaching was spirit-led and powerful. The music was inspirational. The prayers were sincere and emotional. Such was his feeling of God's presence that he was sad to hear the preacher announce the final hymn and that it would be followed by the benediction. After the benediction was given, he just stood there with his head down and his eyes closed. He wanted to absorb every last moment. When he finally looked up, a man was standing next to him. The stranger stuck out his hand and said, "Do you think Mother will win today?" The minister said that the man really said was, "My shoes are red." He hadn't listened to a word. Our lives are filled with all kinds of distractions that prevent us from hearing God's word. My question for you this morning is not if God has a word for you. He does. The question is, are you listening? For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, our lives can be so busy, so occupied with so much going on all around us, that even here in this service, we are distracted. We have so much to do. Lord, there is no greater need in our lives than to get to know you, to have a relationship with you. And though we may scoff at this and laugh at it and think, oh, we can come back to this later, we can have a relationship with you when we're older, Lord, we won't be any wiser. For this is just a short part of eternity. This is just a moment in comparison to what lies ahead. Lord, when the world presses in, when we are so easily distracted, when we are attacked by the devil and attacked from within ourselves, give us the strength to focus on you, to listen to you, to hear your voice, and to know your love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.